thy presence with us today. And, O God, we ask now for the help of heaven as we come, Lord, to this gospel meeting. Come and be one of our number and meet with us tonight, we pray. Answer prayer for us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing the words of a lovely gospel hymn, O Victory in Jesus. Well known hymn, Let's bow together, please, in prayer and seek again the Lord's face and for his help tonight in prayer. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for the victory that we have in Jesus. We praise thee, Lord, tonight for that victory that was won for us there at the place called Calvary. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that there he died that we might live. Lord, we thank thee that there he, Lord, gained the victory over sin, death, and hell. We thank the Lord tonight that through the blood of Jesus Christ, there's victory for us. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for each one in this meeting. We've entered into the victory of the cross. We thank Thee, Lord, for that old redemption story. We thank Thee, Lord, for that day, that moment in our life's experience, Lord, when by faith we trusted Thee. Lord, when our eyes were opened to behold, Lord, the beauty, the wonder, and the majesty of our Savior. We saw, Lord, our sinfulness. We saw how wretched we were. And yet we saw one who loved us, one who hung on an old rugged cross to die that we might be saved from sin. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight, Lord, as we come around the cross, as we come to the gospel, Lord, that we might never, each one of us that's saved, may we never lose the wonder of our salvation. Lord, we thank Thee tonight for amazing grace. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight for the grace of God that reached us. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for the blood of Christ that brought us and bought us. O God, we thank Thee tonight for the gospel. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You be pleased to work on, to speak on in hearts tonight, we pray. For those, Lord, in this meeting, for those who are perhaps listening online as well, still out of Christ, without hope in this world and without hope in the world that is yet to come. O God, we pray that tonight You'll speak to their hearts. Lord, save their souls, O God, we pray. And Lord, we pray that tonight the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse them and save them. And Lord, we pray that tonight sinners, Lord, will be saved out of the darkness of their sin. O God, we thank Thee this evening for the gospel. We thank Thee for the simplicity of the gospel message. And Lord, we thank Thee tonight as well for the power of the gospel. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight You'll do our hearts good. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll give us help, Lord, even as the gospel is sung, as the gospel is preached. O God, we look to Thee this evening for Thy help and for the Spirit of the Lord to be poured out upon us. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy mercy and Thy goodness to us another day, for watching over us, for, Lord, bringing us safely to this gospel service. And Lord, do our hearts good. We pray for our brother John as he had come to minister to us. We thank the Lord for him. We thank the Lord for that day You saved him. We thank the Lord for all You've done for him since. We thank Thee for how You're using him in the service of the Master. Encourage him richly, we pray tonight. We ask, O God, that he might just feel entirely at home this evening. The blessing of God upon his ministry, we pray. We ask, O God, that even as we hear about the work of summer camp this year, Lord, that our hearts will be blessed. We think, Lord, of the meetings that lie before us this week, the meetings there in Clarewood. We ask, O God, for the boys and girls, Lord, that as they would come in, Lord, that You'll bring them in. Lord, we pray that there'll be that interest there for the gospel. And Heavenly Father, we pray that little ones will come to faith in Jesus Christ. We think, Lord, of those who were in the meetings in the week gone by there in Redburn. Speak on, O God, we pray. Work on in hearts and lives, we ask of Thee. O God, we just pray. Do Thine own work, we pray. Bless every head bowed in Thy presence. Meet us all at the point of our need. And Lord, be with us. Continue with us, we pray. Remember those who cannot gather with us, those in the congregation who are unwell. O God, we pray that You'll just touch them in their bodies, minister to them, strengthen them. O God, we pray. And Lord, that very soon we'll see them back in the house of the Lord. Do our hearts good, we pray. Bless us, we pray. Remember, Lord, after the meeting, Lord, as we wait around the throne of grace for that time, Lord, as we have these special seasons of prayer this week, O God, we pray that You'll come and meet with us tonight. And Lord, do all of our hearts good. We pray that we will see answers to prayer. So be with us, we pray. And Lord, come, Lord, now and answer prayer, not for our much asking, but Lord, for Your glory, the glory of our Savior. And His name alone, we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. This evening, we are delighted to welcome back our dear brother John Porter, and his dear wife as well. We're glad to have you both with us tonight. We welcome you warmly in the Savior's name. We always look forward to you coming, and are glad you're here with us tonight. Lord bless you, John, as you come and minister to us. Thank you.
I think the steps up to this pulpit get narrower every time I come here, I'm sure. That's nothing to do with me getting wider. Folks, it's lovely to be here, to be able to share fellowship with yourself. And whenever I was invited down here, I was absolutely thrilled. I'm always thrilled to be asked to go and share anywhere, but particularly I like to come here and just to enjoy the fellowship down at Sandown. I'll stop talking and start singing. So long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of the prison was opened by love. You know what? The ransom, it was paid. I was free. I'm free from the fears of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. Yes, I'm free, praise the Lord. I'm free at last. I am free from the guilt that I carry, from that dull, empty life, I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. Oh, I'm free from the fears of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. Yes, I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free at last. There's nothing you'll experience like the freedom and the sense of that spiritual freedom in Christ Jesus. There's just nothing else that the world can give you that will even come close to that sense of peace, that sense of contentment, and that sense of knowing that no matter what happens, should you never see the morrow's dawn, listen, say your soul safe in the hands of the Master. In the hands of the Master. What a tremendous comfort. I love this wee song here. I don't know, I just feel compelled to sing this tonight. It's a song by a man called Mosey Lister. And he was very good at writing songs. An American gentleman, he's now passed away. In the dark of the midnight, I have oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry and keep me safe, till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from my sky. Oh, hold me fast, help me stand in the very hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, you know, John, there's no need to try. There's no end to your sorrows. There's no hope by and by. But, you know, sometimes folk feel, whenever you think about tomorrow, and none of us knows what tomorrow is going to land at our doorstep. Isn't that right? You never know what's going to come fluttering in through your door as far as a letter or news from the hospital goes. Do you know something? Even though there's a time of sorrow, and there is times of sorrow, scriptural, we'll all have them. It's scriptural. It's scriptural. We'll all have them. Do you know something? The fact that Christ is beside you, believer, right beside you, should you be in the most comfortable bed in the Europa or the most comfortable bed in the Royal, the Lord's there. But I know thou art with me, And tomorrow I'm going to rise where the clouds, they never darken my skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from my skies. Hold me fast, help me stand in the very hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe till the storm passes by. Listen, when the long night has ended and those storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. What a place in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, and it will, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Oh, hold me fast, Lord, help me stand in the hollow of thy hand, and keep me safe till the storm passes by. Lord, keep me safe till the storm, and they will pass by, passes by. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Ministry and song tonight, and praise God. The storms will come, but those storms will also, in God's time, pass by as well, and he'll keep us safe. I wonder tonight, do you know the Savior who keeps you in the storm, keeps you through the storm, and will hold you tight? John, thank you so much for your ministry with us. We'll hear from him in just a moment's time. I want, just at this stage, before we have our report on summer camp, to welcome you all along this evening to our gospel service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight, and thank you for being with us, to those who are in the building, to those who are watching online as well. And I just remind you that after the meeting tonight, we have the first of our special seasons of prayer that we're having this week as we commence into the new season in the work of God. We need to seek God's blessing. We need to pray for God's help upon that work that lies before us. So we meet immediately after the meeting tonight for that season of prayer. We'll meet down here on the ground floor after the gospel service is over. You're not able to stay, then you're free to leave after the gospel service has finished. But I trust you're able to stay for a little time as we meet and pray for God's blessing. Then this week, it's another busy week again for us, but we're glad to be busy in the work of God. We have the Explorers Bible Club for the boys and girls down in the Oak Centre there in Clarewood Estate, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, each night this week at 6:30. And you may not be involved in the children's work, but we'd ask you to continue to pray as you prayed, I know, for the meetings last week in Redburn. I want you to pray for the meetings this week as well down in Clarewood, that the Lord will be near, the Lord will bring in the children. Clarewood has always been an area where we got many children from in years gone by, and sadly not so many in recent years. But let's pray that this time of Bible Club will be a time when we'll see new children brought in and reached for the gospel. Our brother Phil Harton will be taking the meetings those three nights, and if our children's workers could be there as well just to help out and to assist as well. So 6:30 each night, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. And then also those three nights back here in the church, and the meetings in Clarewood will be over in sufficient time to get you back here for the special seasons of prayer in the church here on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. this week at 8 o'clock in the will of the Lord. And I trust you'll be able to come and spend those times around the throne of grace as together we pray for the Lord's blessing. Then Friday night sees the recommencement of our youth fellowship, and this Friday night we start off by going over to the youth rally in Hillsborough, and we'll give more details of that to the young people on the WhatsApp group. Then next Sunday morning, Sunday school Bible class recommences here, 10:15, our Sunday morning worship service, 11:30, and then our Sunday school over in Hollywood recommences next Sunday afternoon, God willing, as well, at 2:30. And then next Sunday night, 6:30, the special meeting here in the church, valedictory service for our brother Adam Kennedy, as he commences his studies in the Whitfield College of the Bible. And it's a very significant night for the church family here, but especially for Adam and for his own family. And so we want you to share with us in that special night. Next Sunday night at 6:30, Adam will be here to testify and tell us of how the Lord led him into Bible College to train for the work of the Lord. And he'll be here to do that. Also, our sister Charlotte Coughey will be singing. And as we said this morning, there'll be an offering lifted. And that will go as a love gift to Adam to help him with his expenses in college this year. So that offering will be lifted during the meeting next Sunday. I know we don't normally lift offerings at the minute, but that will be an exception next Sunday night. Some other matters I just want to bring before you. Something I wasn't able to report this morning from Presbytery, but I can now report because it has gone to the congregation concerned, and that is that our brother, Reverend Ray Kerscadden, minister of our church down in Kurragari, has felt the call of God to go as the minister there in the mission station in Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda. And our brother Ray and his wife Rhonda and their family will be making their plans over the next number of months to go there to Uganda. This is an answer to prayer. As you know, when our sister Noreen was here, it's been very much on her heart and certainly the hearts of all those involved in the work in Uganda. And we're delighted of how the Lord has led our brother Ray this way. And so plans will be made. He'll be having deputation meetings, and God willing, in the near future, we'll be going to take up the work in Uganda. So remember our brother, pray for him, pray for the church there in Kurragari. Obviously, he'll have to step back from the ministry there, and pray that the Lord will bless them and guide them as well at this time. Then our church dinner, Friday the 23rd of September, over in the Martyrs, the Jubilee Complex. This is open to everybody. So if you haven't got your menus and your money back as yet to our brother John, if you can do that, please, as soon as possible, that would be appreciated. If you haven't got menus, there's still some there in the hallway. Take them and you can get them back. If you have any questions, then please do see our brother John. Explorers Bible Club starts back here in the church on Tuesday evening at 6:30, the new time of 6:30, here Tuesday the 13th of September. And then next Monday night, Monday the 12th of September, there is the graduation commencement service for the Whitfield College of the Bible, and there'll be two of our current students who'll be graduating and will be licensed for the ministry. That is in Ballymena Church. That's next Monday, tomorrow night week at 8 o'clock. Well, these are all the announcements, and as always, they are made subject to the will of the Lord. So over these special nights of prayer, we're going to be thinking about special parts of the work of God here, and work amongst the children especially. And tonight we're going to have a report from Kyle and Anna on our summer camp that was held back at the end of July. So I'm going to ask Kyle and Anna, they're waiting here in the wings, to come and to report to us about the summer camp. Thank you. Lord bless you.
Evening, everybody. It feels like not so long ago we were up here on a Tuesday night, the prayer meeting, telling you about what we were going to do, but we're thankful to be back tonight telling you about what has happened and what God has done, even amongst our in our summer camp. at the end of July, as Reverend Wilson has said. So Anna and I are both going to do a little bit tonight. I'm just going to give you a bit of an overview of what we did, where we were, what was going on at camp this year. And then Anna's going to just finish up with some of the feedback and the prayer points and some of the final bits that we're going to do tonight. So as you can see, we had about 39 campers this year, from various different places. We had a few new areas as well, which was good. We had our usual Belfast influence, some Hollywood children, Ballymena and Ballymoney as well, and then some from Cumber, new kids, Mullyle, and as far away as Auchnacloy. So we had a lot of new kids this year, I think because of the two-year gap where we weren't able to do camp properly, obviously. And we just got a whole different bunch of kids this year coming. But we can say from the outset, before we even get into it, we really enjoyed working with this group of children this year. They're all very very friendly, good to work with. We really just had a great time with them at camp this year. So we were in a new location this year, as we said before. And previously, we've been at the Ulster Folk and Transport Museum. Renovated over the first lockdown. The good thing about this site was that it was all self-contained. We weren't sharing with the public, so we had the whole house and the grounds to ourselves, which was a much better situation from that perspective. Plenty of sports and activity facilities on the site, and one of the big things was as well that because it was an outdoor education centre and there were instructors on site, they were able to organise nearly all of the outdoor activities for us at camp, which saved us filling the church bus with all manner of stuff to get up to do sports days and slip and slide. And it just really was a big, big help this year, saving a lot of organisation for us. And the centre was really, I think you could tell it had been recently done up. It was actually, we weren't sure what we were going to in some ways, but it really, lovely little courtyard down the back as well. So really lovely surroundings, and again that self-contained nature that it was just us on the site was really good for all that we were doing. Of course, and many of you already know this, but for those that aren't familiar with our summer camp, our aims of summer camp first and foremost is to teach them about their need for salvation, teach them the message of the gospel, and that we in God's will see campers one for Christ. One of the other key things that we do is getting to memorise scripture throughout the week. So Monday to Thursday, they had a memory verse to learn, and then we worked on a point system with teams. So the biggest points you could get was saying your memory verse, and getting down as early as you can in the morning to say your memory verse to Auntie Joyce. I'm sure you're going to know Joyce Walsh. Our children's evangelist was back this year, again doing the messages for us. Also then trying to engage them in devotionals and prayer times as well in the evenings. And of course, as well, for them to make new friendships, to meet other Christian friends, and just develop that kind of friendship, or even though they're all from different places. And every morning, our camp meetings, much like a children's meeting, just one in the morning, one in the evening. And again, Joyce Walsh would have brought a message in the morning with a missionary focus. And this year, she was looking at Operation Orca. That was the outreach to reach the Orca people. I asked Anna this afternoon where they were from, but Ecuador, I believe it was, yes. You can tell I was listening very well. The Orca people of Ecuador, I think Jim and Elizabeth Elliott were involved with them. So that was the morning missionary focus, and then in the evening she brought some messages on Nehemiah. And that's the real focal points of the day, that we have our morning and our evening meetings. Yes, we have activities, but we always have those, our quizzes, we have our memory verses in there, and lots of choruses and singing as well. And that's just some pictures from our morning and evening meetings. And yeah, we have to bring mascots along with us. This is Gianni with one of our mascots. I believe that was the Dolphins mascot. It's kind of hard to tell. And then, of course, Auntie Joyce was there to bring the lessons, and this is her bringing on some of our younger recruits to camp this year. There was a few underage campers there this year as well. Activity-wise, loads of things during the day. We were bouldering, basically climbing up riverbeds and and all sorts, and all the equipment and everything was given to us as well, which is really, really good. We had lots of crafts we're doing during the week. Rachel Gilton did a lot of those with the kids. We'd done archery during the week, and we went out canoeing in Strangford Loch over to Wee Island, and we were doing bushcraft and lighting fires and all those kind of outdoorsy things that I'm not very good at. They went even a hike up the Mourns out in red boats. If you don't know what a red boat is, it's just like a speed boat or a thing. A rigid inflatable boat is what Anna's telling me is the correct terminology for what a red boat is. They were sailing, and they went on a sea safari on these boats and were looking for sins and all sorts. So really all over the place, all up and down Strangford, doing all sorts of activities. We have some photos there of them doing there. This is on the canoeing day over on the island. Toasting our marshmallows. This is when we were over on the island doing the bushcraft. And these are supposed to be shelters. I don't know how well that would do if the rain poured that night. But needless to say, that one didn't win the prize for the best shelter. They were allowed to jump into the water after they were finished their activities as well, which they all seemed to enjoy for some reason. Mountain biking as well, I forgot to mention we were doing a bit of that around the site as well. This is I wasn't there that particular day, but I believe this is up one of the mountain climbs they did. And this is the sailboat they went out on Strangford Loch as well. So I think from talking to the children, they really enjoyed having all these different activities. I'm sure they were tired by the end of the week. There was plenty of it. They were out most days between a short activity between breakfast and lunch, and then all time from lunch to dinner, they were out the whole day. So they were definitely tired by the end of the week. I think that was helpful getting them to sleep at night as well. And here they are doing some crafts. I think it's some bracelet making or some sort of craft with Auntie Rachel, as they call her. And here are some of our intrepid explorers out on the boats. This is the rigid inflatable boat that we're on. Connor decided he's going to buy one now, apparently. And it's Christy and Shirley. I was in the boat with Shirley. Let's just say that I don't want to repeat that experience. So those are our morning. That's just an overview of what we did, the activities, and those sorts of things. Anna's just going to do a wee bit of the feedback that we got. And just wrap up with some prayer points and those sorts of things. Thank you.
So basically, we had a really encouraging week. If it didn't come across there in the slides, the messages that Joyce brought, they were fantastic, and I think the kids really responded well. Everyone listened really well. You could tell that in the quizzes, you know, it wasn't just the same kids answering all the questions. There was a real mixture, and so it was nice to see how everyone was really engaging with the teaching. And also the devotional times. I know the boys in particular were very encouraged, because sometimes, you know, you would ask, well, how'd the boys go? Oh, they didn't really say much. But in this one, we found there were a lot of boys that had church backgrounds, which was actually quite encouraging. They were happy to pray, to engage, to ask questions. And so the devotional times were really encouraging in that sense. And so we had a great week, fantastic week, and we got some feedback from parents. So one of them was lovely. Yeah, thank you so much. My kids loved it. Want to come back next year. That was really nice. This one made me laugh. Is it usual for campers to sleep until 2 in the afternoon the day after camp? Which I think is. I'm pretty sure that is normal. Thank you so much. I had a great time. They never gave over the whole drive home. So that was good to hear. This one we really appreciated, just about... you know, they had a super time, and it was great to hear them singing many of the choruses as they go around the house. I think that's what's really encouraging to us, that the camp, the choruses, the memory verses, they don't just stop at camp. Kids bring them home. They sing the choruses at home. They have those memory verses hopefully in their hearts now, and to share them with family and friends. And again, at the end, we would also reiterate that, you know, the parents appreciate all of our leaders, all of our team giving up a week of their summer to do camp. So it was really nice to hear that feedback. And so, yeah, a big thank you. So we do want to first thank the session and committee for making camp possible, for their help and wisdom in decisions, for just all of the practical matters that just aren't even seen or known about. So we do just thank you all very much for your support and your leadership. And then to our leaders, again, we couldn't do without any of you. And it was, I don't know if they knew what they were signing up for this year. Definitely not hiking up the Mourns or sailing or driving a rib. But they really just took to it, and their energy and enthusiasm was just fantastic the whole week. Big thank you to Joyce. Once again, I don't know how many years she has been doing camp. I was a little girl, and it was just so lovely seeing her teach Eden now, and my little girl. It's just, her teaching has is just always fantastic, so clear, and the gospel is always preached so clearly. So we thank you to her. And then the parents, some of the parents are here tonight. Thank you so much for sending your children to camp. Without you, without the children, the camp wouldn't happen. And it was so lovely to see new faces, and we do really hope that they will come back again next year. The campers, again, some campers are here. Thank you so much for being such a lovely group of kids and young people. There were no issues. There were no trips to A&E. It was as smooth as it could be. And the Delamont staff, they were really good to work with overall. You know, they were really accommodating and helpful. So we hopefully, God willing, will be hoping to work with them next year as well. And then finally, you, our congregation at home, we just are so thankful for your prayerful support. We know that you were praying and thinking of us throughout that whole week and in the weeks of preparation. So we really support and we really appreciate your support in all of that, financially and prayerfully. So we'll just finish up with a few prayer requests. So we would just pray that the Lord would continue to speak to the unsaved. There were a few boys and girls there and young people that were unsaved. And whilst there were no, you know, professions at camp, we would just pray that the word, the seed that was planted, would continue to grow, and that God would work through that and work in lives. We would pray that those who were saved, who had church backgrounds, who would profess to be saved, that they were encouraged and strengthened, especially as they go back to school this week and next week, that, you know, they're going to be facing difficult challenges, new people in their lives, maybe not the best influences. And so we would pray that everything they learnt at camp would stay and help them make the right decisions and the right friendships. And that even the Christian friendships they made at camp would grow, that they would not just, you know, be a once in a year thing, but that they would try and meet up and just keep those friendships growing. And we pray that you'd bless Joyce's ministry. I know that she is busy throughout the year, especially with schools now coming back, so that she would just have, you know, words from heaven that would really speak to boys and girls in all the different works she's involved in. And finally, that our campers would come back next year, so that we can have another brilliant year, God willing. So again, just thank you very much. That is all we have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle and Anna, very much. Thank you for your prayers, as they have said, but on behalf of our congregation, we want to thank them and our camp leaders for the organisation, the time and effort that they put into planning summer camp, and as well to all the leaders who gave of their time, gave up a week of their holiday to go and be at camp. We appreciate your support, and so continue to pray that the Lord will bless the word that has gone forth this past year. Delighted to have John again. I'm going to ask you to come and sing for us again. The Lord bless you, John.
It's wonderful to see the work going on, such as that. And it's quite right to give it time and to let people know what has been going on and encourage the people through your prayers. One of the things I was reading this morning to some old folk in a nursing home, I was taking a service, was Luke chapter 15. And you know, whenever Christ was speaking, who was he speaking to? It wasn't speaking to all the good folk. The book tells me, in Luke chapter 15, he was speaking to publicans and Pharisees. And he was speaking to people who didn't necessarily believe. Well, you see that work that was going on there. There's maybe children in there that maybe are never churched. And they're seeing the love of Christ in a very practical, wonderful way. You know something? We need to be doing more of it. With that in mind, that's why I chose us to be sung for the last song. It's related to that particular passage of Scripture. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills away, far off from those gates of gold. Away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. You know, the love of God is something that we will never, ever fully comprehend. Ever. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were those waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found that sheep that was lost. Out in the desert, yes, he heard it cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out that mountain track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through those mountains thundering, and up from that rocky steep, I love this bit, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven. Rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed all around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Yes, the angels echoed all around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord, he brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Amen. Thank you, Rob.
Again, our thanks to your brother John for being with us tonight and his help in our gospel meeting. And thank God tonight for the love of the Lord for that one lost sheep. He had 99, but there was one that was lost. We were the ones that were lost, and he loved us and went searching for us and gave his life for us. May the Lord write the words of that hymn, wonderful hymn, upon all of our hearts tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 9 this evening, the Old Testament, the book of 2 Samuel. This is one of the stories that we taught to the children the past week in Redburn. And as I thought about it, the Lord led me to speak upon it and look a little more at it tonight in the Gospel. It's the story of Mephibosheth. It's not a hard, not an easy name to say, Mephibosheth. And so if I stumble a few times, you'll understand. A boy from Omagh, County Tyrone, was never good at speaking the Queen's English, and he's even worse at trying to speak Hebrew. So you'll understand if Mephibosheth doesn't quite come out the right way all the time, but we'll try our best. We just want to read from verse number 9, 2 Samuel chapter 9, and we're just going to read some verses at the end of the chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 9 and the verse 9, then the king, who is David of course, called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading to our hearts. Just before we come to the Word of God, let's still our hearts in a moment of prayer. We thank the Lord tonight for thy presence with us. We thank the Lord for the messages and song that have been brought to us tonight. We thank thee for the blessing that they have been. Encourage our brother John and use him, we pray. Keep your hand upon him. Bless him richly, Lord, as he continues to minister and sing for thee. Lord, we thank thee for the report that has been brought to us tonight by Kyle and Anna. We thank thee for summer camp. We thank the Lord for this opportunity once again to teach and to instruct the little ones, the young people, in the things of God. And Lord, bless that word that has gone forth. And Lord, speak on to their young hearts. But Lord, now for this time, we pray, Lord, for your blessing. We pray, O God, for thy help. Come and meet with us tonight, we pray. And Lord, help us tonight as we come to the gospel for these moments. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. The house of Saul promised so much for the nation of Israel. It really heralded a new era as far as they were concerned. You will know the story, I'm sure, how that they desired a king to be like the other nations. They wanted their own king. And they chose Saul, a man of great stature and a man of great prominence. His coronation heralded a great time in the nation, a time of potential success and great prosperity. Yet the problem with Saul was that he was not God's man. And as the scriptures tell us and account for us, he was not willing to walk in God's ways. His wickedness and his waywardness was great. So much so that the Spirit of God, we are told, ceased to work in his life. How the mighty are fallen. Because as Saul and his son Jonathan went out into battle one day, they both met an awful end. They were both defeated in battle, and his kingdom, which promised so much, came to a very sad end. And David then was anointed to the throne. He was God's man, of course. But in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and in the verse number 1, there is a question that David asks that is most amazing when we think about it. David said in verse number 1, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? David was going to show mercy and going to show grace to a man and to his family who showed great hostility and hatred to him because Saul hated David. After David's defeat of Goliath and how he won the adulation and adoration of the nation, and the people turned their back upon Saul, and Saul hated that and he hounded David. And yet David, now as he is king, when he had the opportunity, he could have went and shown no mercy, no kindness to anybody to do with the house of Saul. And yet he makes this inquiry in verse number 1. As he is now king and sitting upon the throne, he says, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul?" As we go through these verses this evening, we see David here as a great type of Christ. He was a great warrior. He was a great leader. But here in this example, particularly in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we see Christ and his mercy and his grace, showing grace to a stranger, to somebody that he didn't even know. Because after the inquiry was made, it was discovered that there was yet someone left of the house of Saul. It was Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. And it was to this individual that great grace was going to be shown. Mephibosheth was an orphan. He was fatherless. His father, Jonathan, had died in battle. His grandfather died, as we said, in the same battle as well. And here was a young man whose life was hopeless. And yet, his life was about to change dramatically. As the king is going to bring him in and make him his son. You see, Mephibosheth is going to be brought from obscurity and brought from a hiding place right into the very presence of the king himself. And as we read at the very end, sitting at the king's table. There are many wonderful gospel lessons here in the life of Mephibosheth that we want to consider this evening. First of all, I want you to see here there's the concern of the sovereign. As we've said, David is now king. His archenemy, Saul, is now dead. And you would be thinking that David would be rejoicing in the downfall of the house of Saul. That he would want nothing more to do with that family who hounded him and hated him and sought nothing but the destruction of David. Yet David had a concern and a compassion, and in verse number 1, he asked that question, "Is there yet any left of the house of Saul?" As we think of this concern, notice that there's an interest here. David, as the new king, had every right to seek the destruction of every member of the previous king's family in an attempt to quash any possible rebellion against his reign. He had the right to seek the destruction of all of Saul's household. But he didn't. Why? Because David had entered into a covenant promise with Jonathan, Mephibosheth's father. And he made a promise with Jonathan to look after any of Jonathan's family. When David was on the run and when he was hiding from King Saul and Jonathan was looking out for David, they made that promise, they made that bond some years previous. And you see, here is David now in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and he's got the whole nation at his feet with all the pomp and all the prowess that goes with it, and yet he didn't forget his word. He was going to be faithful to his promise and to his word. How descriptive is that of the gospel? Did God not enter into a covenant with humanity? With a people that had turned their back on God, turned away from God, yet God promised a Redeemer. God promised a Savior. And that covenant promise was fulfilled and found in Christ, in the greater David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You see, David had an interest in those who had no interest in him. David said, "Is there any member of Saul's family still alive?" He wasn't looking for any particular person, just any. It was extended to all. And thank God tonight that His grace in the gospel is extended to all. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your religion. It doesn't matter your upbringing. Christ will show kindness, grace, and mercy to the whosoever will. And after all of this time, this covenant promise had been made. It stood firm, and David stood true to his word. His love and compassion had not diminished. You see tonight the love in the gospel story, the promise of the gospel story is still as strong as it's ever been. God still calls the whosoever will to come to Him. God still loves this world of sinners. This concern, we see the interest. But not only do we see the interest in this concern of the sovereign, but notice as well the intention. What was He going to do? At the end of verse 1, that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake. Kindness. The word kindness is the Old Testament equivalent for grace. In fact, you read this chapter, grace could be written over it all. This kindness that was promised in the covenant bond that Jonathan and David made. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and the verse 14, we have that promise being made. And they said, "Thou shalt not only while yet I live show me kindness of the Lord, that I die not." This kindness that David was going to show to Mephibosheth was undeserved. Mephibosheth didn't deserve it. And you know, folks, in the gospel, we didn't deserve anything. The grace of God is the undeserved merit of God and favor of God. What's happening here at the end of verse 1, where David says he's going to show kindness for Jonathan's sake, is a wonderful picture of the gospel. Christ tonight shows kindness and love to the sinner who is undeserving of such kindness. If we got what we deserved, we would be in hell. We deserve to be left in our sin. We deserve to die in sin. But God in His grace sent His Son to be our Savior and to bring us into the fold of God. He chose to love us even when we did not deserve it. Notice the intention was also for the sake of Jonathan. For the sake of Jonathan. If it had not been for Jonathan, Mephibosheth would never have experienced this kindness, this mercy, this grace. The help, the assistance that Mephibosheth needed was not found in him. It was found in another. It was for the sake of Jonathan. And you see, folks, the merit for our salvation, the merit for the grace of God is not found in us. It's found in another. It's found in Christ. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, he said, "God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Salvation hath been shed abroad in our hearts through Jesus Christ our Savior. Our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. There's a wonderful picture of the mediation of salvation. Jonathan had a close relationship with the one who showed kindness and with the one who needed kindness. He had a relationship with the king. And he had a relationship with the stranger, the outcast. What a wonderful picture of Christ. Christ, who is God of very God. And yet, in his coming into this world, he became man to be our mediator. That one who is God and yet man, the glorious God-man. He may bring us to God. He was the mediator in order to reconcile God and man. And as you've heard me say in the past, and it's so important, so fundamental to the whole gospel story, it was so essential for the Son of God to become the Son of Man in order to redeem sinful man to a holy God. There is no other way for God to show kindness but through Christ. There is no other place that you'll find kindness and grace but in Christ, the one who is full of grace. You know, David would have found it hard to find any reason to love any of Saul's family. But he found it for Jonathan's sake. And God, for the sake of his son who gave his life on the cross to ransom, to redeem, to satisfy the law of God, show kindness and love for the sake of his son. There's the concern of the sovereign. But I want to see here, secondly, there's the condition of the sufferer. Let's notice a moment the condition of Mephibosheth. One of the best known aspects we read at the very end of our scripture reading was that he was lame. His inability to walk when he was 5 years old. As his grandfather's kingdom had come to an end and he was now an orphan and the nurse, for fear of his life, took him and fled with him, and yet as she was fleeing, he fell out of her arms and he fell to the ground and he was lame on both his feet. And he couldn't walk anymore. He was unable to do anything for himself. And as we think about the condition of the sufferer here, we think about the condition of Mephibosheth, notice his inability. His inability. He couldn't do anything to help himself. Does that not show and remind us how that we could do nothing because of our fall? Our fall into sin when Adam sinned in the garden. You say, I wasn't in the Garden of Eden. No. But Adam is the representative of all mankind. We sinned in him and we fell with him. In his first transgression. And because of that, we are unable to do anything to help ourselves. Mephibosheth was lame, he was hindered, he was helpless, his strength was diminished. And sinner, in this meeting tonight, you are helpless to do anything for yourself. The scriptures remind us that while we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. There's nothing we could do to merit salvation. Mephibosheth couldn't work. He could do nothing. And folks, we can do nothing either. The only work we need is the work of Christ on the cross. His inability, we see his poverty. Mephibosheth, as we find at the end of verse number 4, lived in a place called Lodabar. Lodabar in the Hebrew, it means without pasture. He was in a place where there was nothing to sustain him or strengthen him. He was in want, he was in need. And how that speaks of the nature of mankind. Sin robbed us of the blessing, the fall robbed us of life. The fall into sin robbed us of all that we needed. It brought poverty, it brought hunger, it brought destitution. And Mephibosheth is found in that condition. As we see in verse number 5, the king then went searching for him. Then the king David sent, fetched him out of the house of Machir. He went searching. He went seeking. And thank God tonight for the Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God tonight for the Savior who seeks out the sinner. Despite our inability, despite our poverty. How he doesn't wait for the sinner to turn his life around. Whenever it was found that there was one still of the house of Saul, his name being Mephibosheth, we see not only his poverty here, and we see his inability, but notice in verse number 6, we see now Mephibosheth's humility. Because when he was brought in before the king, what did he do? He fell on his face and did reverence. Look at verse 6. He fell on his face and did reverence. He was humble before the king. Humbled before the king. And he asked the king in verse number 8, bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" In other words, Mephibosheth said to David, "David, why are you interested in me? I'm a nobody." Mephibosheth didn't say, "Well, actually, I'm King Saul's grandson. Do you remember that great man who stood head and shoulders above everybody else? Everybody who looked up to him, I'm his grandson." He didn't claim anything. He realized that he had nothing to claim. He was humble before the king. He acknowledged his own worthlessness and his own hopelessness. You see, sinner, you'll never be saved until you come to that point when you realize you have nothing to offer to God. And with brokenness and openness before God, you see that everything you need is from Him. There's no room for pride. No stout hearts, but humble, contrite hearts before the Lord. His humility. His poverty, his inability. What a picture, what a description of the sinner. But finally, as we close tonight, we see not only the concern of the sovereign, the condition of the sufferer, but thirdly, I want us to see there's the change in the son. Mephibosheth's life was about to change forever. He'd never be the same. After meeting David, his life changed. And you know, this change that is described for us in the latter verses of chapter 9 is a mirror of the change that Christ brings into a life. A life that is transformed by the gospel of grace. Because he's no longer an orphan, now he's a son. Now he's a son. We see, first of all, that he had a new peace. Mephibosheth was fearful for his life. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. He was frightened. But David said in verse number 7, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." Mephibosheth came trembling before David, but David's words brought peace to the troubled heart. Oh, there are many troubled hearts tonight. Many anxious souls tonight. Oh, if they would only turn to Christ. If they'd only turn to the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, sin brings bondage and fear. But salvation brings faith, and as our brother John was singing, it brings liberty. He had a new peace. What peace flooded his heart from the king himself? He expected words of danger and words of dread. Instead, he found words of peace and calmness. He had a new position as well as a new peace because he's now brought into the king's family. Verse 11, Ziba said unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. One of the king's sons. He was brought into the royal family now. He was adopted into that family, made a son of that family, enjoyed all the privileges of the royal household, enjoyed all the bounties of the king's realm. He was a king, son of the king now. That's the change that the gospel brings. We who were orphans and outcasts in this world, when we come to Christ, we are brought and adopted into God's family. You look at verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba's old servant and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. He wanted for nothing. All that had been lost through Saul would now be restored. And thank God tonight that Christ, who is the last Adam, restores to us all that our the first Adam, our first parent, lost in the fall. We lost fellowship with God. We lost communion with God. We were outcasts and strangers, yet Christ came to make us sons, daughters of God. Made the sons. Children of the royal family. Billy Bray, the Cornish preacher, was a man who was rough and rugged, but yet a man who was greatly used of God to see many souls won for Christ. And he was visiting in the area in Cornwall before a gospel mission seeking to invite people in. And he just wasn't all that well dressed as he went to the door of this particular house. But he knocked the door and he asked for the owner of the house, if they could speak with the owner of the house, and the owner of the house came. It was a well-to-do area. And the owner of the house came and saw Billy Bray in his rags. And Billy started to invite this man to his gospel mission that he was having in the area. And the man turned to Billy Bray with arrogance, with pride in his heart. And he said, Billy Bray, who are you anyway that I should go and listen to you? Billy Bray, as quick as a flash, he says, who am I? Why, sir, I'm the king's son. I'm the king's son. Thank God tonight we who are saved, we're the children of the king. We mightn't have much down here, or may our names may be obscure, but we belong to Christ. He's got a new position. He's got a new peace. Very quickly, he's got a new provision, because four times in this chapter, it talks about Mephibosheth eating at the king's table. He wanted for nothing. And then he had a new pledge, because at the end of the chapter in verse 13, we read he did eat continually. Continually. Daily. Constantly. He would have this fellowship, this communion. What a pledge. Pledge of security. David said, I brought you into my family, and you'll be in my family for the rest of your days. That's the pledge in the gospel. We're not just saved for a little time. Not just saved for a day or two. The Lord doesn't put us on probation to see how we get on. No, whenever the Lord changes a life, and when he brings one into his family, we're always in his family. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You might think tonight, well, I can't keep salvation. You're right, you can't. He keeps you. Just as he saves you, he also keeps you. Mephibosheth's life was turned around. A stranger made into a son because of the grace of God. And sat at the king's table. Oh, that you would come and experience all that there is to be found in Christ. Him says, I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. Oh, I'm a child of the King. Child of the King, with Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Do you have that relationship with him tonight? Oh, that you would come and experience all that you can find in Christ. He satisfies. You will never be disappointed when you come to Christ. May you come and experience the change that Mephibosheth experienced. Taken away from the far country and brought in to sit at the table of the King. That's what the gospel does. Let's bow in prayer.